Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Angelo Cerbi of Fred Film Radio, still at the Venice Festival, and today a special treat because we are in a very fantastic location in an area of a new section of the Venice Festival called Venice VR, Virtual Reality Venice. And I'm here with one of the programmer, of the directors, of the creators of this section, Liz Rosenthal. Hello, Liz.
Hello, Angelo.
Well, you just gave me a fantastic tour of the venue, and can you tell us a little bit more about the structure of this section?
So Venice VR is structured in three different sections. This is the first official competition section ever in an A-list festival for virtual reality. And so we're really excited. We were given such an amazing platform and space at the Lazzaretto Vecchio to exhibit this first exhibition that's ever been done in a film festival. So with Michelle, we curated 24 projects in the official selection. 22 are in competition. So we have a jury of John Landis, Céline Chamard, and Ricky Tognassi, who are going to award three prizes. There are three types of VR experiences in three different sections. First, there's the VR theatre. Second, the stand-up section. And the third is the installation section.
You were saying the name of Michelle, which is Michelle Riac, your co-programmer and co-director. And having a jury of this standard for filmmakers must be kind of a huge reward for the job, and also kind of a big anxiety creator, probably, because having John Landis to tell you if your movie is good or not is kind of cool, actually. Can you just tell me, when we did the tour before, you told me that there were like different ways and different levels of VR, also because the way you can shoot, you can produce, and you can then make your viewers view the film. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. So it's kind of hard because virtual reality experiences are very, very wide, and we can't really put them under one umbrella. There are many different ways and types of experiences in the virtual space. So in a VR theatre, for example, we're exhibiting works that are shot on 360 video. So that means that the viewer is static but watching a 360 space. So that's the closest you get to traditional film. But then on the other side, where in the installation space and the stand-up space, these are very sophisticated experiences that are made in three-dimensional spaces. So you can move around the 360 degrees, you can move around objects, or you can interact with objects in that space. So these really stretch from experiences like Arden's Wake, which is a very high-end animation experience, which is narrative-based, where you can move around the world, to the other extreme of interactive experiences in the three-dimensional space, like Alice or Draw Me Close, where you have a multi-sensory experience that is more like immersive theatre. So you're also, as well as moving around a three-dimensional virtual space, you're interacting with physical objects and people within that space.
That is a kind of an experience, because it's weird to knowing not to be in reality, but looks like in reality. And the feelings give the exact dimension of this thing. I mean, I just experienced this four-dimensional movie where I was like hospitalized in a bed. I wasn't a real hospital bed, and the feeling that my character was feeling, I felt it too, because there were people touching me, making me smell stuff. So this is really like the next era for entertainment. But which is the state of the art of virtual reality now in terms of fruition from the audience?
I think these kind of very immersive experiences where your senses like smell and taste and touch are being used in the experience are really extraordinary. And also the idea that you're with somebody else physically in the space and virtually in the space. And it's very hard to describe unless you're actually...
Yeah, actually it is. Yeah,
It seems very esoteric and abstract when I'm talking about it. But it's actually entertainment that involves all of your senses is what we mean by immersive. And so this is the step that I think has been really exciting about the projects we've seen this year, is that it combined with incredibly advanced technology, but also very real-world theatrical qualities. So we're seeing this kind of mixture of incredibly advanced technology and old traditional media merged together. So that's what's so exciting about the breadth of the section. We're suddenly seeing all these different art forms come together. And that's what I think is exciting about this platform. It's a technology and it's a platform. It's not a new art form. It's a platform to express different ideas.
Yeah. Exactly. How big was the selection you have to do? I mean, how many projects did you get? And just to understand the dimension of this phenomenon.
We had 125 projects that we had to view in 3 days. So Michelle and I watched about 20 hours of virtual reality over 3 days, which is an incredible amount to watch.
Yeah, and kind of demanding.
Yeah, and physically and psychologically, I hope not damaging. But we both, Michelle said it took him a week to recover afterwards. On the second day, because we did 3 days solid viewing, I felt kind of sick. But yeah. I think it might have been something to do with the grappa as well that I drank the night before.
That can help, actually.
Yeah, but I think it may have helped, actually. But it was an intense experience because the technology still, the product is still, the design is very primitive in a way because the headset's quite heavy, you get hot, it can get uncomfortable, you're moving your neck a lot. If you're standing up, which some of the experiences you have to stand and move around, it's quite demanding. In terms of length of experience. But I think in terms of the type of quality of projects we're seeing, I really noticed over the few years that I've been involved in this area that the quality has just augmented. And whereas last year, and even 6 months ago, I was seeing work that were more demo and experimental, now these are complete works in their own right that I think are entertainment pieces or art pieces that you can enjoy, and they don't seem, you don't need to make excuses for
them. I understand. In this space, there are some single installation which are not in competition, but are single installation made by artists that are either VR artists and VR directors, or also let's call it regular artists, like Laurie Anderson, for example, that try their art into this new media. Did you select those two, or those were just given, just automatically selected because of themselves?
They actually, they were selected. We curated the exhibition totally. Some of the people, because it was such so short term in terms of the time length scale we had to work with, so it was announced in April that Venice was going to do this competition and selection, and a lot of the projects we went out directly, or they were through contacts. So the Laurie Anderson was through a contact in the festival that we found out about it, and a Simon Yang piece, which is other artist filmmaker you referred to, who's had many films in competition in Venice previously, he is someone the festival knows. But again, it was submitted. It was actually submitted through the official process. And Michelle and I went directly to quite a few VR artists that we knew. But we had so many other projects come through that were totally cold. So the Chinese projects, Free Whale and the Dream Collector, were studios we don't know of. So it's really exciting seeing the high range of projects, of projects we weren't aware of.
Yeah, because, I mean, being a new form of art and of media in entertainment, there must be a whole world there waiting for us to be discovered, I believe. In your experience being in this field for quite a time and having seen tons of hours of productions, which is the near future of this media, if we can call it media? How can you call it? Like art form, media art form, I don't know. So which is the future for you?
It's interesting, looking at these interactive experiences, I think the idea of interaction and immersion are what I find really exciting. And it's funny how people are frightened of virtual reality, and there are loads of ethical and social issues around all forms of media. When new forms of media form, society gets scared.
Yeah.
People were scared of cinema, they were scared of television, they were scared of DVD and video, and now, of course, they're very terrified of virtual reality. So there's always this idea of dislocation from the world, that people are frightened, that people are losing their relationship with the physical world. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something we really need to consider as artists and filmmakers, and I think it's incredibly important for storytellers, whatever background they come, to embrace these forms, because I think it's almost their duty and the thing that's exciting to explore our position as human beings in the world. And so I feel very strongly that this is an area, for example, Laurie Anderson or Simon Liang, who are very thoughtful artists. It's wonderful to see them exploring this world. So in the future, thinking about where this goes, the things I'm excited about, and I was particularly, was completely new for me, was this idea of multi-sensory experiences, and also experiencing virtual reality with people, being in a virtual space with someone else. And those are the experiences I'm excited about. There's another company in Switzerland that I really loved, a project they make. They're called Artinim. They're a lab. And they've developed these worlds you go into with someone else. You're with them, you can talk to them, and they appear as an avatar. And that was the first time I had gone into an experience with someone mm-hmm. I knew, and it was really, really fun, and it made me really think, my gosh, the environment for creativity in this area is huge.
But in this case, in case of interaction with let's call it fake world and the real world through another person in the same space, how can we draw the line between like a game and an art form?
Well, games can be art forms, and it's really funny how we have this in the film business as well. There's this real I think there's this denigration of what games are.
Yeah.
And of course there's a big blockbuster generic games, but games have many different manifestations of what we think a game is. And so it's like I said before, this whole mix of different art forms and media is what we're seeing in this kind of cultural storytelling part of virtual reality. And I think, okay, there's a technology that games industry and games designers use that's being used combined with theatre and design and art and storytelling. So I think it's a merging of technology skills and other art forms. So I think it's kind of interesting as a form. Of course, the games industry are creating games properties in virtual reality, and the majority of people who are experiencing interactive products are the games, niche gamers. But I think this idea, the skills that games designers have are really important, combined with storytellers and artists, and that's what's interesting. So I don't think there's something you can call something a game or a story. I'm interested in how interaction and story come together. And until this platform, it was something in my company, Power to the Pixel, we were wrestling with, is can you have something as interactive and narrative at the same time? Mm-hmm. And now I'm seeing in this platform, this technology is enabling that to happen in a way that I never saw before.
So probably we just have to stop talking by categories and just looking at the products as an entertainment product in itself, and that's it, probably.
Or looking at it as an experience.
Yes.
An experience. And it was at the press conference for the VR section. Mr. Paolo Barata came up with a really interesting thing at the end. He said, we should stop thinking about virtual experience products. We should think more about virtual viewers. And it's just when we start exploring this idea about story and narrative and art and audiences, that's what I'm interested in. I sometimes think the technology or the formats get caught up in these. They're kind of industry silos or distribution formats. But now this is an area that's enabling it to fall away, this idea of what are different products. That's why I think it's a very interesting platform to look into for the future of what art and what entertainment's going to be.
Okay, so thanks a lot, Liz Rosenthal. We hope next year this section will be bigger and longer. And, I mean, always in this space, because this space of L'Arzaretto Vecchio is really amazing. So thanks a lot for having me with us. Thank you very much. I'm Angelo Cerbi from the Venice Film Festival for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio,
24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.